Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining our podcast. I'm Ashley Daza, a marketing analyst for the Cigna Dental business. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Hedlund, a Cigna Dental director. Glad to have you with us on today's podcast, Dr. Hedlund, and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ashley. It's great to be here.
Since October is National Dental Hygiene Month, I thought, what better way to celebrate than talking about general dental hygiene? Today, we're going to cover the basics of dental hygiene and learn tips to stay on top of our at-home dental care. To start off, can you explain to us what dental hygiene is?
Absolutely. Dental hygiene refers to the practice of keeping your mouth, teeth, and gums clean and healthy to help prevent cavities and gum disease. Because it relates to your health, dental hygiene must be considered an essential part of your everyday life.
Definitely, and by keeping your teeth and gums healthy, you'll be able to enjoy eating nutritious meals and maintain confidence in your smile throughout your lifetime. There are so many additional benefits that we're going to touch on today. You just mentioned that good dental hygiene helps prevent cavities and gum disease. What causes these in the first place?
Cavities and gum disease are caused by plaque, a thin, sticky film that constantly forms on our teeth. And by constantly, I mean every single day. Plaque contains bacteria that release destructive acids when we eat sugar. When plaque isn't removed by brushing and flossing, it can harden into tartar, also known as calculus, in as little as a couple of days. Then once plaque turns into tartar, it can no longer be removed by brushing and flossing. Only your dental hygienist or dentist can remove it.
Another reason why it's so important to go to your routine preventive care cleanings. And if we don't have the tartar and plaque removed, what happens?
When plaque is present on tooth surfaces, the bacteria in plaque produce acids that can harm teeth and cause cavities. According to the National Institute of Dental and Craniofacial Research, 92% of adults ages 20 to 64 have had cavities in their permanent teeth.
92%, that's way more than I would have ever expected. You also had mentioned gum disease. Does plaque cause gum disease as well?
Yes, it can. When plaque builds up along your gum line, and in the space between your teeth and gums, it can cause gum disease, also known as periodontal disease. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about half of American adults aged 30 and over have some degree of periodontal disease.
How would we know if we have some degree of periodontal disease, aside from the dentist letting us know?
Well, yes, most importantly, your dentist will be able to notice and help with the treatment plan. However, you may also notice signs of gum disease on your own. The continued presence of plaque leads to inflammation of the gum tissue, also known as gingivitis, causing redness, tenderness, and your gums may even bleed when you brush and or floss. Because only the gum tissue is involved, gingivitis can often be reversed by ensuring your dentist or hygienist removes all tartar regularly and by brushing and flossing thoroughly every day at home.
If gingivitis isn't treated by going to your dentist regularly and by brushing and flossing thoroughly daily, can it then lead to something worse?
Yes, that's right. If not treated, gingivitis can progress to the more severe form of gum disease known as periodontitis, which must be treated by a dentist. Because periodontitis involves damage not only to gum tissue, but also to the bone that supports your teeth, it's not reversible and can result in tooth mobility and ultimately tooth loss if not treated.
That alone will certainly keep me motivated to stay on top of my dental health. Is there anything else that we should be aware of?
Yes. One last area of concern pertaining to gingivitis is that during pregnancy, some women may get a form of gingivitis known as pregnancy gingivitis. This occurs due to hormonal changes during pregnancy that may make gum tissue more susceptible to inflammation and bleeding in the presence of plaque. It's important to continue to see your dentist regularly during your pregnancy for oral exams and cleanings, and make sure to tell them if you notice any changes in your mouth, for example, swelling, redness, or any bleeding.
That's good to know that it's especially important to continue to see your dentist during pregnancy too. After all, our oral health is so connected to our overall health.
Absolutely. According to the American Academy of Periodontology, a number of studies suggest that there may be an association between gum disease and other diseases, for example, diabetes and cardiovascular disease, with inflammation being the common factor. Ongoing research is aimed at further examining these and other connections, but it further confirms how connected oral and overall health may actually be.
Without a doubt. Another side effect related to dental hygiene that I wanted to discuss today is bad breath. We're all aware that when we have poor dental hygiene, bad breath is most likely present. Can you explain the cause?
Yes, another common result of poor dental hygiene is halitosis, as you said, more commonly known as bad breath. According to mouthhealthy.org, a website supported by the American Dental Association, bad breath affects 50% of adults at one time or another, and many aren't even aware of the problem. Many things may contribute to this, including gum disease, particles of food that remain in your mouth, especially between your teeth, bacteria buildup and their byproducts on your tongue, and smoking and other tobacco products.
Aside from brushing our teeth and tongue, drinking water can also help. What's the rationale there?
A good flow of saliva is necessary to help cleanse the mouth and wash away food particles that may cause bad breath if they remain and continue to break down in the mouth. Some people suffer from xerostomia, also known as dry mouth, a condition that decreases the flow of saliva. In both instances, it's helpful to drink water regularly throughout the day, but especially for those with a tendency for dry mouth.
This is all very helpful information. Now that we're well-versed on the negative risks and side effects of poor dental health, what can we do to maintain proper and thorough dental hygiene?
There are some simple tips that will help you maintain a healthy mouth throughout your lifetime. For example, you should remove plaque by brushing your teeth thoroughly at least twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste. It should take approximately 2 minutes. Brush your tongue gently whenever you brush your teeth. You may use either your toothbrush or a tongue scraper to do this. Tongue scrapers are usually available wherever floss and toothbrushes are sold. Also, you should remove plaque and food particles from between your teeth by flossing at least once a day, preferably at night. You should also eat a healthy diet and limit foods with added sugar. And as mentioned earlier, you should drink plenty of water. And by the way, don't smoke. Smoking dramatically increases your risk for gum disease. And finally, you should visit your dentist regularly for a professional cleaning and exam. How often you go should be determined by you and your dentist. For some individuals, it's once or twice a year, and for others, it's more than that.
Thanks. Those are some great tips and seem simple enough for all of us to implement if we're not already doing so. Since so many of the tips revolve around brushing our teeth and tongue, is there a toothbrush that you would recommend?
If you have difficulty with a manual toothbrush, check with your dentist or hygienist for recommendations for an electric toothbrush. There are many varieties of electric toothbrushes and recommendations are very, very helpful. Many people even prefer these over manual toothbrushes, even without dexterity issues. It really doesn't matter which type you use, as long as you use one or the other twice a day.
Okay, good to know. What's the proper brushing technique? It seems like common knowledge, but many of us may be doing this incorrectly.
Yes, a quick refresher never hurts. I recommend placing the bristles next to the outer surfaces of your teeth and then pointing the bristles toward your gum line at about a 45-degree angle. Then you simply gently brush in a circular motion. So gently brush the outer surfaces of all your upper and lower teeth, and then using that same circular motion, brush the inner surfaces of all your teeth. Lastly, brush the chewing surfaces or the biting surfaces of all your back teeth, especially those grooves that may collect food particles. When brushing your front teeth, it's helpful to rotate the handle of the toothbrush more vertically, allowing you to more easily use the tip of the toothbrush in a circular motion, especially for cleaning the inner surfaces of those front teeth. Always focus only 2 or 3 feet at a time.
Flossing is another very important component you've mentioned a few times now. How much floss should we break off to use? I never know for sure, and I don't want to be wasteful, but also want to make sure that I'm covering all the areas.
On mouthhealthy.org, again, the website supported by the American Dental Association, it's recommended that you break off about 18 inches of floss and wind most of it around one of your middle fingers. Then wind the remaining floss around the same finger on the opposite hand. That second finger will then take up the floss as it gets used.
How about the teeth that have tight contacts and are harder to get in between? Do you have any advice? Sometimes that can be painful.
Yes, it's important to gently slide the floss into the space between your gums and teeth. Always use a gentle rubbing motion rather than snapping the floss into your gums, which can be painful. This will help prevent injury to the small triangular-shaped gum tissue between your teeth. So once you work the floss through the contact area and it reaches the beginning of your gum line, curb it into a C-shape against one of the two teeth. This will allow you to finish sliding the floss into the space between your gums and that tooth without injuring the gum tissue. Make sure to gently rub the side of the tooth with an up and down motion. Repeat this on all teeth, and don't forget the backside of your last tooth.
And when in doubt, have your hygienist or dentist demonstrate how to brush and floss properly to get the best results and avoid injuring your gums, especially while flossing. That's always been really helpful for me. Do you have any final additional pointers to keep in mind when it comes to dental hygiene?
Yep, I certainly do have a few more pointers. While I normally floss first and brush second, it doesn't matter what order you do them in, just that you do them both. Remember to brush gently. The tips of the bristles do the cleaning. Brushing too hard can cause gum tissue to recede over a long period of time. Use a toothbrush with a soft or extra soft bristles, as both are sufficient for removing plaque. Anything stiffer than that is too hard on the teeth and may wear small notches into your teeth at the gum line. Also, replace your toothbrush every 2 or 3 months, especially once the bristles begin to fray. Use a toothpaste and a mouthwash that contain fluoride to help protect your teeth from decay. Consider looking for products that have the American Dental Association seal of acceptance right there on the package. If you're at a higher risk for tooth decay, for example, if you have a dry mouth or a tendency for a dry mouth, you may need more fluoride. Your dentist may be able to provide a fluoride treatment during an office visit or help you with a fluoride gel or mouth rinse that you can use at home.
Thank you. Those are all such helpful things to keep in mind, Dr. Hedlund. I learned so much, and so many of the tips that you shared are simple things that we can all incorporate every day right from our home. Also, thank you to our audience for listening to this podcast. We hope that you found this information helpful and better understand the importance of good dental hygiene habits. For more information and tips, visit www.cigna.com/dental.
The content in this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical or dental condition. Cigna products and services are offered by Cigna Health and Life Insurance Company or its affiliates.